warm welcome to you. My name is Amina Taylor, and this is Remember Palestine. In the last week, 900 more settlements have been given the go-ahead in East Jerusalem, Al-Quds. The approval will see Palestinians turfed out, while Jews worldwide are invited to move on in. But in the Jordan Valley and other areas of the West Bank, settlements do not simply mean a loss of land for Palestinians. They also set the stage for the exploitation of laborers. On the fertile land that makes this land grab so appealing, Palestinian workers with little left face long hours, low pay, and humiliating treatment. Our correspondent will be talking exclusively to workers toiling away on farms. We'll also speak with the leader of the Islamic Human Rights Commission about a campaign to boycott produce linked to exploitation. And it's not as easy as it seems for this to happen, because here in London, we've taken to the streets to find out whether British shoppers are changing their buying habits in the UK in light of revelations about how labourers are treated. And the latest successes of the boycott movement and the controversial moves by the Israeli government that have followed with my next guest, Sarah Colburn. But first, there's been another reported night of Israeli airstrikes against Gaza. In this latest attack, there have been multiple injuries reported. On the ground for us is our Gaza correspondent, Yusuf Al-Halu. Yusuf, you can hear me?
Yes, I can.
What's been the latest news? What's happened and where has it happened?
Well, these frequent air raids have a negative psychological impact on people here, especially those, especially children. Most of their strikes actually occurred at night. Last night, for example, Israeli airplanes and tanks struck several places across the Gaza Strip. Most of the targeted areas are in the middle of civilian areas. The first air raid occurred while people were breaking their fasting at sunset, and then this was followed by a series of air strikes until the early hours of today, injuring five people. And this actually caused panic among residents, especially children. Now, Amina, Israel has intensified its attacks on Gaza in recent months, claiming that its attacks were in response to projectiles fired from Gaza into southern Israel. But what's annoying is that Israel is using disproportionate force. People here say that Israel does not need an excuse in the first place to attack Gaza. People here are worried that these attacks could be a prelude to another large-scale offensive, as a number of Israeli officials called for one, like the one that was carried out at the turn of 2009 against Gaza. Now, in the meantime, human rights organizations called on the international community to provide protection for the civilians of Gaza.
Yusuf Al-Halu, we'll leave it there, but we'll of course be checking in. Thank you very much. The assault on Gaza may have intensified during Ramadan, but alongside that, moves to weaken Israeli power through the boycott movement have also stepped up. We'll find out about that a little bit later on in the program. But first, let's have a look at why the boycott campaign is so important. In this report, our correspondent gives us the inside story on what's facing laborers working on settlements. We cross to the West Bank for this report.
Under the August sun in temperatures of around 40 degrees, laborers endure harsh conditions on a number of flourishing Israeli date farms. They start their day early in the morning before sunrise.
I work on a date farm. My shift starts at 4:30 in the morning, ends around 1:30 in the afternoon. I get paid $28 for it.
Palestinians in the Jordan Valley are accustomed to this weather, but are more resigned than willing to work in the nearby Israeli farms.
We're farmers. We used to work on our own farms, but Israel's pumping of the underground water and the drought has left us no option but to work in settlement farms.
Israeli settlements, over 30 of them now, are spread across the Jordan Valley, and their residents, Israeli settlers, claim to have pioneered new methods of agriculture. But the Palestinians at one time, not so long ago, say that they also had a thriving agriculture and the water to support it.
Most farmers had to become laborers in nearby Israeli settlements. These were skilled farmers, that's why Israelis wanted them there. If we still had our water resources, we would still be cultivating our land.
Underpaid is what can be said about these workers, but that's not the entire story. Palestinians in the Jordan Valley are first and foremost farmers. However, Israel's control on the available water sources in the area, mainly the River Jordan and the few springs around, has deprived many Palestinian villages in the Jordan Valley even from drinking water, let alone agriculture.
Water is our main resource. Without it, we're forced to work in Israeli settlements for low wages. We'd farm our land if the water is still available.
Palestinians claim that they're paid much less than their Israeli counterparts and seldom receive benefits. Further, more and more Israeli settlements are hiring imported labor from Asia to work in the date farms. What little work Palestinians had access to is now slowly coming to an end. In the Jordan Valley, one can see the full effect of Israel's policy towards Palestinians. Land confiscations and the depleting of water resources by overpumping from aquifers, while denying Palestinians access to water even to cover their most basic need. Conditions that have left these laborers with no option but to tolerate humiliating and harsh working conditions just to survive. Ibrahim Husseini, Press TV, the Jordan Valley.
Well, my first studio guest, I mentioned her earlier, but it's Sarah Colburn. She's the director of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign, and she joins us now to highlight the latest efforts from the boycott campaign and to explain the impact it's having, especially inside Israel. Sarah, it's good to see you again. Let's just touch briefly on what we just saw, some of the horrible conditions under which these Palestinian date farmers operate. You're asking us to then not buy the products of that labour. Why is that?
We're asking people to respond to the call from the Palestinians themselves. This was an argument used during the days of apartheid South Africa, where people who supported the apartheid regime in South Africa said, but it will just harm the black South Africans themselves. And there was a very clear call from South Africans to support the boycott movement. And we have the same clear call from Palestinians themselves. And therefore, we're calling on people to respond to that call and take power into their own hands, because that's the beauty of the boycott movement, is everybody can be conscious about what they buy, not buying into Israel's crimes and not buying Israeli goods and not buying settlement goods.
Has it been successful, this campaign?
It's been massively successful. If we just look at the issue of Israeli goods and produce and an Agrexco. Agrexco's in financial meltdown. It's got losses of 106 million euros. Agrexco are the major export company for Israeli produce and settlement produce to Europe. And they have been trying to export these toxic goods. They're branded, like Carmel, for example, is a typical brand name used by Agrexco. But they also export for goods used by supermarket owned brands. And they have lost 106 million euros. They are in financial meltdown and they're trying to get another company to buy them out. That is a result of consumer power. Another example of the power of the boycott movement is the campaign that's been waged against Veolia. Veolia is a company that many people will know about in this country. They operate many refuse contracts in this country, but Veolia are complicit in the operation of the Jerusalem Light Rail Tramway, which is designed to separate off East Jerusalem from the West Bank, and it will surround they will connect the illegal Israeli settlements up with West Jerusalem. It's illegal under international law, as is also the Tovlin landfill site, which Veolia also operate, which moves Israeli settlement rubbish into the West Bank. And what we've seen have been actions taking place, not just in Britain, but internationally, against Veolia, trying to persuade councils not to use Veolia for their services. And the latest example of that was in Ealing, where Ealing Council decided not to give Veolia a contract worth £300 million. So these companies are paying the price. Veolia announced the day after, interestingly, that the information came out about Ealing, they announced that they had losses in the first 6 months this year, and so they're looking at scaling down their operations. And so we're trying to tell companies that complicity in Israel's crimes doesn't pay.
How do we get that message across, and what are we looking for? Because if you mention, especially with the products, there's so many brand names, And some of it is worded in such a way that I think I'm helping when actually I've done the opposite.
Yes.
Picked by Palestinian farmers, harvested in Palestine, but done on Israeli settlement land.
Yes. If it does not clearly state on the label that it is it's from a Palestinian enterprise, do not buy it. Do not buy it if it says picked by Palestinian farmers. Do not buy it if it's labelled made in the West Bank. Do not buy it if it's labelled made in Israel. Because unless it is clearly labelled as Palestinian produce, it is a it's produce that has been grown and complicit in Israel's occupation.
How has this gone down inside Israel?
Well, this is very interesting. There's been an increasing movement inside Israel of concern at the price that Israel is paying for its crimes. And so a desperate rearguard action has been fought inside Israel by introducing a legal measure through the Israeli parliament to ban people inside Israel from calling for a boycott of Israeli or settlement produce, and also calling for a boycott, an academic or a cultural boycott.
So civil society can't even say, because there'll be repercussions where they are.
Precisely. And there's a threat to bankrupt individuals and to drive campaigns and organisations and charities out of business.
But they'll say, Sarah, we're not affected by this. Couple of campaigners calling, we're not completely bothered. This says to me the opposite, frankly.
Absolutely. The economic price they're paying is very, very clear. And also, if you look at the views on the streets, we've been leafing outside supermarkets, and we've been leafing outside mosques, for example. I know that you're going to be discussing later the dates campaign. We've got six mosques being covered by local PSE groups and the London BDS network this Friday. And that the response we're getting is really, really positive response. People understand they want to do something to support the Palestinians. They want to do something to object to the crimes that are being committed. They want to say, not in my name. And this is something very empowering. And so what we're asking viewers to do is not just refuse to buy dirty goods themselves, but to tell their communities, tell their families, tell their friends, tell their work colleagues. This is the way we get the message across, is by making sure that everybody is aware why you should be boycotting Israeli goods.
Sarah Colbert, thank you very much. But what do shoppers in Britain make of the pleas from rights organisations to boycott exploitation goods? Are they even aware that such campaigns exist? Well, we sent Jasmine Jiwa to take a look in London's streets and find out for herself.
I came to West London to ask people if they know about the conditions that workers face on Israeli settlements in the West Bank. And if they know, are they willing to do anything about it?
Now I know that, I'm not going to buy that stuff because, I mean, I think that's terrible, and I think especially for, like, I know they're probably working for next to nothing, and they sell it over here for, like, stupid profit.
I wouldn't buy it. I just wouldn't, you know? I'm not going to support a regime that oppresses a whole nation of people that have been displaced through no fault of their own. So, yeah, I wouldn't buy it.
It would affect what I buy in supermarkets, as I don't really agree with slave labour. And things like that.
I wouldn't buy it because the supermarkets are getting the money, and it's not really fair on the children who are working on it. They should be the ones that are getting the money because they're working harder for us.
A human is a human. We have to respect humanity, at least. Whether he is a, you know, worker, farmer, anything, he is a human after all. So we have to respect him, and I'm never going to buy such product.
My next studio guest is the chair of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, and for decades he's been a vocal advocate of justice for those who are sometimes less able to speak out. Dr. Masoud Sajareh is a leading campaign, and he's leading one against exploitation dates from the occupied territories. And it's an issue that's particularly permanent during Ramadan. Now, it's good to see you, but this is a very, very prickly issue we're discussing. This is one of the main foods used to break the fast.
Yes, and Agresco, which is a company which is 50% owned by Israeli government, it's not just an ordinary company, handles 70 to 90% of the dates of our occupied territories, which is settlements. And Britain and the rest of Europe is the major market. 80% of their dates is actually brought into Europe. So it really is a very important issue. And they brag every year that they are processing the dates early, so be ready for Ramadan and on the tables of worshippers, which is totally unacceptable. Stolen trees on a stolen land and oppressing people as a means of breaking your fast is really unacceptable. So we actually set up a campaign trying to highlight it to everyone. I mean, this campaign, which actually highlights the companies and the brand names which are mostly used to hide behind, because the fact of the matter is that there are Israeli government, what it does, it actually brings dates from these settlements, mix it up with own dates, and then exports it as Israeli goods or as, you know, the false labeling. As a matter of fact, right now there are some court cases in France where these companies have been caught for false labeling, and not only they are fooling ordinary people like myself and you, but they're also using our taxpayers' money, because there is a concession, tax concession for Israeli goods, and they're using that for bringing these goods into this country and exploiting the Palestinians, the lands, and indeed the British public and our taxes.
We saw in an earlier clip what life is like for some labourers who are forced to toil under the heat. There's not really a lot they can do in terms of further unemployment. But what is your take on the idea that by not buying these products, we somehow harm the Palestinians?
No, we actually went and interviewed some of those working there. I mean, some of the working conditions are much worse than what you show. I mean, there has been other
those films. Are just the ones we were allowed to film.
Right.
So
I mean, they put a young child on top of the tree, and, you know, with the bottle so they could urinate in that, and they stay up all day sort of trying to do the dates, and it's very oppressive system. The fact of the matter is that, you know, we need to do the right thing for those people, and indeed they themselves, even in that program, they were saying that this is not their way of life. Their way of life have been exploited. They have been ruined from their own culture, agriculture, etc. I mean, let us not forget that Palestine, historically, both in Bible and in Quran, has come as a land of plenty. So it's not something that, you know, there is a fallacy that the Zionists have actually turned it into a land of plenty. It's always been a land of plenty. But this land of plenty, these plenty, are being excluded from the Palestinians. So Palestinians are now in Gaza and elsewhere are the most deprived. You know, the children are more malnutrition than anywhere else in the world in the land of plenty. And we need to change that. We need to stop that oppression. And then really stopping buying these things. Jordan Valley is nothing to do with Palestine. It's actually settlement goods. And then many others. I would suggest everyone go to our website and actually download this. We already have distributed 100,000 of these leaflets. But I will go beyond the individuals. We need to go to the shops and actually tell the shopkeepers, why are you holding this?
Do they not know?
No, they don't know. I mean, actually, I myself went to a number of shops. Deliberately, the origin of the place was removed. And, you know, and the guy said, well, I didn't know I bought this. It doesn't say where it's from, and it's nice dates. And indeed, medjool dates are one of the best dates you can buy. But the fact of the matter is you need to know what labels are being used by these settlers and then expose it with the shopkeepers. That particular shopkeeper, I got him to contact his supplier and said, you have to take it back. They were saying they won't, and we wrote a letter threatening them that no goods should be sold without the origin being labeled on it. So he had the right, and the goods were returned. We need to help our shopkeepers not to be conned.
Yes.
We need to help our community not to be conned. And for that, we all need to get involved. So we will not, this con that is going on is having a tremendous impact on the life of Palestinians, and we need to do it.
What's the website, Dr. Sajer?
Is ihrc.org. I urge everybody to go. But also there's another good news. It's not all bad news. There are now actually Palestinian dates available.
You could again order it through ourselves and you come to our shop in Wembley, buy it, or you could order it through us, or you could contact us and we will hopefully help you to find some local distributor, both for dates and for the olive oil, which is actually Palestinian and it will help the Palestinian. So
and
we could do
yummy.
It.
You know, absolutely really good. Yummy. Yeah. Thanks. You very much. Because we all know that across the globe, activists and civil society, they want to remind the Palestinian people that though it might feel like it sometimes, the world certainly has not forgotten you and your troubles. Here's a roundup of recent global events.
The Summer Games in Gaza conquered its fourth world record for the largest number of people flying kites simultaneously.
Now we know the children of Gaza have broken the world record. They are better than China. They are the best in the world.
The rivalry started in April when the Kite Association in China broke the record set in 2010 by the children of Gaza. But the Gazan children bounced back, outdoing the Chinese record by more than 4,500 kites. For Chris Gunis, spokesman from UN Works and Relief Agency for Palestinian Refugees, the achievement is a proof of the potential of the Gazan children.
So they need the blockade to be lifted, because if you lift the blockade, if you put your trust in the kids of Gaza, they will never disappoint you. They will always be number one in the world.
The record was greatly celebrated in spite of an earlier attack to the Summer Games facilities by unknown militants. More than 35 cyclists are getting ready to tour 350 kilometres around Greece to support injured and disabled children in Gaza. The independent event entitled Cycling for Gaza takes place in October, when the cyclists will commence the challenge in Olympia and finish in Athens. Participants aim to raise £200,000 collectively from the initiative, which started in 2009. Members of the Scottish-Palestine Solidarity Campaign will be walking along Hadrian's Wall to raise money to plant trees in Palestine.
The Plant a Tree campaign is an attempt to flag up and publicise to people around the world that Israel's destroyed well over a million trees in the West Bank over the last few decades.
The campaigners chose to walk along Hadrian's Wall to highlight the injustices caused by construction of the Israeli separation wall.
And of course, if you're doing something that you think needs and deserves a mention, then do let us know. Sadly, that's all the time we have on today's program. A warm thank you to both my guests and a very special salute to each and every one of you who've watched and continue to send in your comments and contributions. We appreciate them all. We're going to leave you now with these images taken by children of Gaza with cameras or team delivered to them a while back. This week's theme is happiness. A special thanks to Nada Issa for her help on this project. Until next time,